How many of you already finished university? This is a good book. It's called Boundaries, recommended by Amba Yusuf. It's about keeping boundaries at work, keeping boundaries with friends, keeping boundaries with family, and more. Very good book, one of the best books you can ever read. I got copies for each one, so when we finish, you can take your copy. This is the one here. So we're going to talk about boundaries at work. I guess we choose that topic based on we'll have more grads, but you will need it. You will need it regardless when you finish. So it's good to know a little bit about boundaries at work. And even if you even if you have a part-time job and you didn't finish university, still it's a good to know. So some people think that work was kind of a punishment, punishment from God, because we're supposed to sit in paradise enjoying life and we don't have to work, but actually is not true. God, in His plan originally, He had a plan for us to work, but the work was different. It was not because you are with God, then it's good work, nice, good environment. And He was saying that you have to subdue and have dominion over all the fish and animal and so on. And subdue and have dominion like you have the authority, and you manage, subdue like you are managing what God created. And dominion over means God took the authority that He has, give us to do this. But quickly, we fell, and because of the sin, work became different, because now it's separated from God. The sin entered, and work took a different shape and form. And of course, you read in Genesis when it says, cursed is the ground because of you, through painful toil you will eat for all the days of your life. So this was not the original plan for work. Our original plan was, with God, not this way, the hard way. Then we started to see after that, once it was like, what happened, and part of the work issue is you find that Adam and Eve was basically playing the blame, they're blaming each other about, the problem that it happens, that, Adam said, it's the woman you give me, and the woman said to God, it's the serpent. So each one trying to dishonor not taking ownership for the mistakes they did, they blamed each other. And you will find this is very common at work. Each one will try to not take responsibility and disown what they did. So this is, you will see in the office quite often, in the workplace, you will see people kind of don't want to take responsibility for what they do. So this is, was passed on from Adam and Eve all the way to us, to our generation. Another thing that's important about work is actually develop our personalities. So it is not just you have to work to eat, to feed the family. It's a good, if someone graduate and first work during school, then work for a few years before he gets married, because it really helps to develop the personality quite a bit, because it's easier, a lot easier, when you find your faults and your mistakes and your weakness from your friends than from your wife, because it hurts more. But your friends, you can, you can understand, if you have weakness, they often will bring it up, and you will know that you have this and you have to work on it. For example, if you talk too much, then you will find that, a couple of times they avoid you, because every time they see you, they're going to lose 20 minutes because you actually talk too much. So you start to, say, okay, I know this, then I'm going to take, this fasting or next Lent, I'm going to practice how do I talk less and something like this. Another thing is, some people think that work is God doesn't care about it, or it's not important. It's a job, just this is what you do for a living. But actually, God is interested in that, and He was always giving examples and parables from work about, about everything is being done in order for people to can relate to this. So he cared about work. It wasn't in his way of teaching in order to develop the characters. As I say, work is a spiritual activity because really, you know, by when you do your work, you find the weakness and the things that you need to work on, and becomes actually somewhat a spiritual activity. Because if you get angry too quickly, then at work at least you start to see that you're going to get angry. You can get easily angry at your parents, at your wife, at your friends. See, but at work, you know, if you get angry, you might lose your job. So you start to develop this character, so you feel actually you are doing something spiritual, even if it's at work. We'll take some of the problems at the workplace. So one is getting settled with somebody else's job. Meaning, you go to a workplace, and if you read it in the book, he's giving good example that someone found a good job. She found a good job, she went to the office, and she liked her job, but 3 months later, she wanted to quit the job, that the one she loved the most. But once she sat down and figured out what went wrong, why I dislike my job now, even if I like it before, because she's being, you know, nice, because she wanna win everybody at the office, and she was a people pleaser. People were giving her all the work to do, and they are taking, you know, they're slacking off, and basically she couldn't say no, and slowly she hit her job because now she's doing everybody else's job. So one of the problems that you get is you take somebody else's his job and you do it, and becomes your fault, and it is not your coworker's fault. It is your own. So you need to know your responsibilities, and you need to put some limits. And in the book, when it was talking about how you build fences, not walls, because some people think, you know, by having boundaries, I build a wall, I don't communicate with the other person at all. No, you build fences. So you can still take them down, open them, close them when you feel you need to. Some people, again, feel, you know, being helpful at work is being good Christian. And it's not true. Sometimes they're actually teaching the other person how to be lazy, so you are actually not doing him a favor. If he was getting away with it with his parents, now at work he found somebody else that he can dump his problems on him. But yet sometimes you have to be able to discern when do you actually know when do you help others. Because being good Christians, really we should do that extra mile. But you have to judge it by saying, is it by helping him going to make him a better person or not? For example, if somebody not as smart as you, for example, and at work and is struggling with things that he doesn't understand, let's say he's a new graduate, new job, and he doesn't have the practical experience, but you can help him, then you feel he's going to be a better person. He will appreciate this and will benefit him in his career. Then definitely you should do the extra mile and help him. But if this person is capable of doing a job, but today he has, well, I have to go meet my, you know, my fiancé. Okay, he goes and go see his girlfriend. So you are covering for him. Then you are not helping him, really. All what you are doing is actually, enforcing that bad habits that he used to have. So you have to discern when you can help and when. Working too much overtime. Some people are abused by their employers by working overtime. In Canada here, they have, you know, two sets of work, sort of. Either you are paid by the hour, and normally this is kind of a, you know, it's most people work this way. But in other jobs, especially professionals, like say engineers, specifically engineers and managers, they don't pay them by the hour, they pay them by salary. So I'm going to give you
working 60 hours a week, and you're basically being abused. And best workers always can do, you know, excellent work, but it's the most important is to have it like the priority. Because I can be really, really good, but I'm doing things, my day is gone by, and I haven't done anything useful. You know, each one is asking me a question, and I'm trying to help everybody, and that's where it also becomes a frustrating thing for employers, which is, I'm being Mr. Nice Guy to everybody, but I didn't accomplish my work, and this is normal. Or, every time I have kind of a social conversation, instead of like it's 1 minute, it's like, you know, because if I have meetings and I talk too much, then it's taking 10 minutes. So if I talk to each colleague at work for like, you know, if I met 5 of them a day or 6, because I lost an hour, and instead of, you know, talking 6 people times 10 minutes instead of 6 people times a minute each. So this is the thing that's important. Misplaced words. If you say more than the same thing. There was a story in the Bible, just to show the same concept. Moses sits and people come, because he's a specialized God priest, for example. They come and ask him good questions, nobody else can answer. And, you know, he was doing this all day long, and then his father-in-law, he comes and say, what are you doing? This is not good. We are sitting here all day long, and people come to the king. Moses said, yeah, because people need to come, and I need to answer it. And he said, no, what you are doing is not good. And you are going to be basically, you know, you are going to put yourself out, and it's not going to work. So listen to me, and here's what you do. He did basically that, good management. He told them, you know, hire people to help you, and break, you know, these groups to like thousands, and hundreds, and 50s, and 10, and basically this way you have like a management system, and you can manage people. So he was a man of God, Moses, and he was thinking about, you know, even if it worked 24/7, it's not going to step through. So he needs help, he needs people around him. Same as I want to get all the servants out and say, you are a priest, you dedicated your life to serve the church. Yes, but you can't do it alone. You can't review the youth, you can't review the Sunday school, you can't review the seniors, you can't review funerals and weddings and everyone. So he needs to focus and see what should I do that's so important that nobody else can do. Like say, Moses was to take the big things. But, you know, normally when you have people helping him, they heard this so many times, and they can judge and so on. But this is a good example that I from in the Bible. Difficult words. Sometimes you find most people that they go on this leave because they have difficult workers that they work with, and basically drive them crazy. And they can't handle it, so they go on a stress leave. So you need, you know, if you get into a situation like this, you need to put limits. The problem again is I worked with someone when I sold my company. I stuck with, they hired someone because they found that the staff is too loyal to me. So they hired someone to be between me and the staff. That's disloyalty. So if I ever leave, the staff doesn't do groups as it would look. We're only, you know, 35 people. But this person was so mean, was so hard, this is what you want. You don't want a nice guy. You want a guy to scream at people and shout and yell and so on. And people were frustrated with him. But some people knew how to deal with this person. You want to improve. Simple as that. So if you let this person get to you, then it's your fault. Because you need to stop that. You need to know, here is, I'm going to, with this guy, you actually build a wall on the fence. Because you know, actually still you need a fence because you need to communicate with him if it's your boss. But you need to have, like, you know, this limited communication. And another thing that most of us, being coming from the Middle East, we So sometimes you find some people, this is how you can win them by love. Like, you know, they see love in you, even if they're rude. How many of you actually, when you are upset at someone, pray for them? How many? And you don't have to answer the question, but or answer it in this area as well. How many? I'm almost sure 90% of us don't. I'm angry at that person. That's the last thing that comes to my mind is actually, I stand up and pray for him. There's no way. Let's say 10%. But if you ever tried it, you know what is going to happen? You will feel much, much better. So you are doing it when you stand up and pray. It's for yourself, not for him. Of course, for him too. But if you stand up and pray, you will feel you conquered this evil, not him. I mean, the evil in the situation itself. Conflict of authorities, and this is an issue as well. Sometimes we have something called transference. Basically,